They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the mic.
In the afterglow of the All-Star Mile, this is Moody on the mic. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me, as always, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, resident Rain Man, Tom Hackett. Going to start where Mytho wants to start, and that's with Mr. Brightside, of course, winning the All-Star Mile. Moods pounding, running into six, so still collecting a nice little earn, but the bright side, some thought he couldn't win on a good three, but he absolutely brained them.
Well, listen, I know. Was there ever any doubt his form was pretty good going into it? I think he was probably just overshadowed and overhyped by a few other horses, and he was just dominant there, courtesy of a very good ride by Luke Curry. And what a training combination, Ben and JD Hayes. You know, they're doing a hell of a job. They've backed up their Blue Diamond victory. They're just turning out feature winner after feature winner. Congratulations to the boys there. They've really growing into their own there at Lindsay Park the last 12 months or so, but this autumn has really seen them. You know, they did win a Doncaster with this horse last year, so he's not a fly-by-nighter, but now what a great result for those boys, and tremendous racing. And then we saw Australia's premier trainer, Chris Waller, win the race that was probably missing from the trophy cabinet. I've never doubted him as a trainer of two-year-olds because he's probably won, you know, 8 or 10 or maybe even a dozen or so two-year-old Group 1 races, courtesy probably back in Queensland and Sires and Champagnes and the likes. But to win the Golden Slipper, the last of the big four for our Superstars trainer and Chris Waller, that was a phenomenal effort for he and the Coolmore team there as well. But Mr. Brightside, he was dominant, pounding, a big part of our show here. I thought he ran tremendous. We went back to near enough last from a bad draw. He ran home extremely well and closed the race out nicely, and he did it that nicely. He's earned himself a shot at another Group 1 this Saturday in the Australia Cup. He's lining up for his 13th run of the preparation. Been in work over 12 months, but just continues to be enjoying it. So ultimately, I was going to say Connections decided to back him up, but the trainer decided to back him up, and the Connections have supported the decision, and we're off to Flemington again on Saturday.
Not hard to support a Group 1 appearance, Mytho, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I've got younger brother Ted just claiming this, because straight after the race he said, Mood should back this horse up into the Australian Cup. And sure enough, none of us were brave enough to suggest it to the great PG Moody. He'll do as he pleases anyway. And we got the voicemail on Sunday morning saying, listen, I was just having a think about this. This horse has eaten up. He's done everything right. We've only backed him up once before and he bolted in. So let's back him up into a Group 1 Australian feature race, the Australian Cup. So my brother thinks he's a genius. Moods, how did, just in the wash-up and the aftermath of the All-Star Mile, I lost track of where that Alan Kerr ended up running. what happened there?
Was that the European Speed Hump, the first wild card selected by Racing Victoria and Ladbrokes? I think there was a divot at the 600 and they're still trying to pull him out of it.
Pounding only beat poor old Alan Kerr home by over 10 lengths. So Pounding was not the first wildcard horse selected, but he was the first wildcard horse home on the weekend. So, a great training performance. Very pleased for Connections of the horse. And at Ladbrokes, we're looking ahead to next year's All-Star Mile already, trying to see if we can improve on our last place effort.
We don't like to bite the hand that feeds us, but was there a better wildcard selection for Ladbrokes who somehow had a pick of a wildcard horse to support, and they went with the European Speed Hump rather than Moody on the Mic's very own Pounding, who just...
I told you, Mytho, I was banging the table. I offered up my my resignation. I was that upset that we didn't select Pounding. So hopefully next year's All-Star Mile, I'll get listened to. And we go with our local. We go with the trainers that are in the trenches with us every week.
I want the names. I want names of who was at that meeting and who voted for who, Rain Man. I need those names.
I just found it interesting the next day when I was going through. When I get to the big feature races, I like to see the exact positions of everything. And when the ambulance got listed ahead of Alan Kerr, in the All-Star Mile. I knew it was a concern.
Were the heads rolling at Ladbrokes headquarters? Were heads on the chopping block, Rain Man? Were heads on the chopping block?
Well, we can't talk about those things, but yeah, it was a few tense words for exchange.
Right, so obviously just for the fact that someone nominated for the Arc de Triomphe 4 years ago, they're a chance of getting your first wildcard selection for next year's All-Star Mile.
Kelly will probably still be in work for this campaign, for next year's All-Star Mile, so maybe we can lock him in early this year.
Quite possibly. Oh,
and he'll be running in the Arc de Triomphe in between times, just to shore up his spot.
Yeah.
Pounding makes it hard for the form analysts, though, because, you know, they see first up record, second up record, third up record. They're going to have 27th up and just, you know, wonder how does Pounding go 27th up in preparation? Pounding is very much, you know, he's the battler's horse, you know, that's why we love him. It was a day for the battlers, as you mentioned, up in Sydney as well. Chris Waller, Coolmore, Godolphin, all winning. So it was good to see the lesser lights really get a spot on the big stage.
It is those big days and that those big conglomerates need to stand up because the investment's so big. So, you know, hats off to Godolphin for having a big day and Coolmore who, you know, got it so ever so right, you know, with a horse that they bred and then they put their team into and they've gone and turned him into a $40 million stallion in one fell swoop. So you can take the mickey out of those that win those big races on big days. But if you're putting in, you have to take out, don't you, Moods, at some stage?
Oh, most definitely. And like you said, congratulations to Coolmore. They've made somewhat of a $70 million investment in broodmares and yearlings in the Australasian market in the last 4 years. Now, that's not money that's been sent overseas or whatever. That's money that's gone into the pockets of Australian owners, trainers and whatever that have sold broodmares, that have sold yearlings, Australian breeders. That's a massive investment. Now, we need those people to have a result. Dali, they employ hundreds of people across multiple states here in Australia. They need the result as well to keep investing in this industry. And then you see the Ingham, well, it wasn't the Ingham colours, Lindemann win the Rose Hill Guineas for Debbie Capsavis, apologies.
Capitas.
She's been a wonderful... Capitas, she's been a wonderful contributor to racing also. So, you know, you certainly can't knock that. So hats off to them. And like you said, Mitho, they need a result to keep reinvesting and, you know, good on them. We always root for the underdog here in Australia. We always root for the battler. But every now and again, the big dog's got to get a feed. Otherwise, they'll stop coming to the party.
That's true. We do root for the underdog, but there's still plenty of people out there. Animo is clearly their favourite horse, and they love, you know, the Godolphin runners and that Royal Blue. So we're not going to chop them down too much. I was just having a bit of fun before you all got way serious on it. But Shinzo has been reportedly now worth $50 million as a potential stallion. So good luck to Coolmore and Co. We've got a massive weekend ahead of us, so we don't need to keep looking back. Let's look forward. And coming up after the break, it's Group 1 Racing at the Valley on Friday night.
And, Rog, just before you put the cut in there, I'm not sure if you mentioned that I found the European dominant weight for age winner in Dubai, whatever, and winning up there in Sydney last week. So I hope the punters followed me in there as well.
No, it was good that you actually found a winner and not a pineapple. No, we support that. So well done.
Ladbroken, and modify the excitement with Ladbroke's Same Race Multi. To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race. Find the Same Race Multi tab and pick 2 to 4 runners to finish anywhere inside the top 4. Add up to 4 runners to watch your potential payout increase. Ladbroke's Same Race Multi, available on Thoroughbred, Greyhound, Harness and International Racing. Ladbroken. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Friday Night Lights finale this week. Rain Man at the Valley, the William Reid, the Group 1 William Reid Stakes. And what a race it is. And give us a look at the market, but it's wide open.
Yeah, it's a cracking edition of the William Reid Stakes. Rog, Imperatrice is the favourite. She's been a little easy early, 330 out to 370, but still the clear favourite. Jigsaw, who just keeps on winning on the second line of betting at $7. Early go here for In the Congo. Open $14, into $7.50. It's now the third favorite. Benedetta is on the fourth line of betting at $9. But I think Imperatriz looks extremely tough to beat here. She stamped herself as the best sprinting mare in New Zealand. And she came out first up in the Canterbury Stakes. And for 1,390 metres, for 1,290 metres, she thought she was going to get a Group 1 in Australia as well before Artorias came from the clouds to run her down with Zach Purden in the saddle. But even though she was beaten the other day, she certainly lost no admirers with that performance. And a repeat of that effort is going to make her extremely tough to beat here. She's drawn perfectly in barrier 7. She'll make her own luck right thereabouts on the speed with Opie Bosson in the saddle. And I'll just think, if she can replicate that last start effort, which there's no reason to say she won't because she's an extremely consistent mare in New Zealand, she's going to be very tough to beat here. So she's a deserving favourite for mine, Imperatriz. She's one of the best bets of the weekend, in my opinion.
My only concern with Imperatriz is the valley and how it compares to the track she's been racing on back home. It's obviously, it's a different beast, and I just don't know anything about the New Zealand tracks. But what I do know is that since Jigsaw got gelded, he seems to be just about to deliver on that sort of potential we thought he might have as a two-year-old. He is a horse that does go very well at the valley. I know it's a big step up in class for him, but $7 for Jigsaw, I think, is an attractive proposition. Obviously, scared stiff of the Kiwi, but I'm going to go with Jigsaw to pinch one here.
Yeah, I'm going to. It's a bit of a pineapple race for me, I'd have to say. There's some sort of sprinters that have gone off the boil, little Palale, Mars Crusader. You know, in the Congo, what's going on within the Congo? First up. At this sort of late stage of the autumn carnival, maybe a real concentration on this race first up. So just read in between the lines, we'll go forward in the Congo, drawn one, might just get the cushy front run and still be in it a long way. So the 750 is appealing to me in the Congo each way.
Yeah, well, I'm going with the other Kiwi, Babylon Berlin. There's been very little between it and Imperatriz on occasions in New Zealand. Sorry, Rain Man, what were you going to say there?
But he's just going to get a shameless plug in.
You're showing you're a true company man, Moos, because we've done an outstanding piece on Babylon Berlin on Ladbrokes social media channels this week that you can check out and on the Ladbrokes app. She's been the bridesmaid in New Zealand. She gets her chance to be the bride this weekend.
Well, I just thought with the draw and the local knowledge of B Shin, who's riding up an absolute storm, I'd just give her a slight leaning over its fellow Kiwi there. And I believe she worked superbly there on Monday morning at Moonee Valley. She gave a case of you from the Price Kent stable a bit of a toweling in its work there. Jigsaw, he's in great form. Cindy Alderson's geared him towards this race. She's purposely missed all the big Melbourne sprints to aim him at this. He's in career best form. He's the danger. My horse, Chain of Lightning, listen, she's going particularly well, but she needs probably a soft five or a soft six to figure it at all here. So I'm with the 13. I'd imagine it's probably each way odds off the back of the fancy for Imperatriz. And so 13, the win, and each way if you want to be a little bit soft around the knackers.
Just on Chain of Lightning, Moos, do you target her at some Sydney races, given that they're more adept to getting some rain in the next couple of months?
Yeah, no, listen, definitely, most definitely. This is the last option for her in Melbourne, so either looking to Adelaide, Sydney or Brisbane with her. She's going particularly well. She just hasn't found her favoured soft ground, and I think when she does that, she'll run extremely well. Her first up run was brilliant. Her last two runs in very high pressure, Oakley Plates and Newmarket, she was just out of her comfort zone, so... you know, would need soft to be competitive here, you know, her form suggests she probably doesn't even need to be soft to be competitive in better mares races.
Let's move on to the Australian Cup, the Group 1 at Flemington on Saturday, a race won by PG Moody with Manigar back in 2012. Rayman, this isn't a vintage edition, but it's an interesting race.
No, it's not a vintage edition, Rog, but it's still an interesting betting contest. Cascadian is the favourite. He's been $4.16 to $4.20. Moonga, $8 into $7.50. Nonconformist, who is an impressive first-up winner, also $7.50, along with Right You Are. And Pounding has been an early move, $26 into $19, $5.50 the place. But I really like Cascadian here. We saw him last week in the All-Star Mile. Absolutely storm home in the concluding stages to finish second behind Mr. Brightside. Gets out to 2,000 metres where he's actually got a really good record. He won the Hill Stakes over 2,000 metres in the spring last year. And he ran a really good race over the Flemington 2,000 metres behind Zaki in the Champion Stakes a couple of years ago as well. So he's a horse that does often find himself running into the placings, but I think this does look like the perfect target for him. He's third up, 2,000 metres, ready to peak. And I just think he is, in this field, he is the best horse. He's not going to run into a firing Zaki. I think he's got the likes of Moonga and Nonconformist covered. He'll settle in the second half of the field like he generally does from Barrier 11, but he'll get his chance to move into the race. And I think if he brings anything like his best form, which he generally does, I think Cascadian's clearly the horse to beat here and a deserving favourite.
Winning form is good form. I picked him in the Australia Cup Prelude and I'm sticking with him in the big one too, and that is Right You Are. Five on the bounce, progressed through the grades just beautifully, loves 2,000 metres, loves Flemington. He's adaptable in any sort of conditions that Melbourne's weather might throw at it. I did like the run of Nonconformist winning the Blamey, but his second up record concerns me. So I'm going with Right You Are for Maren Eustace.
Yeah, I'm a bit with you there, Roger. I think he's the hardest for pounding to beat with Cascadian. So I'm with the two selections so far. Probably I'm drawing a line and giving pounding a really good shot. And even though he's been back $26 into $19, I still think he's overs when you run a line through Nonconformist at $7.50. Two kilo weight advantage pounding's way going back to weight for age here. So had to give Nonconformist 2 kilos in that victory at Flemington last start. So I think he can run a big race, and as long as Moods leaves him alone this week and he's got fresh enough legs at start 23 of the preparation, pounding to be coming home over the top of them and hopefully getting Cascadian and Right You Are on the line.
Yeah, well, it's hard to go past Cascadian. His run on the All-Star Mile was superb the other day. I suppose the only slight curveball, and I'm not going to doubt James Cummings, is 7-day backup, only third run in from a prep. But his quality probably takes him a long way in this, and you go back to last spring where he was very good in the Wait for Age race. It's had 48 name changes on the final day of Flemington last year. He was very good there, so... he's certainly the horse to beat. I thought Nonconformist was very good the other day in beating Pounder. You would think he would only improve off the back of that. Right You Are, winning form's good form. Super. So Right You Are, Cascadian, Nonconformist, they're the ones to beat. Like you said, pounding meets them 2 kilos better. This is a glorified handicap. It's not a genuine weight for age Group 1 race, let's be honest. And... you know, something's going to step up and take the mantle. You'd nearly throw the pineapple on it, but I'm going to go 9 from 1 and God give pounding strength.
Let's head to Sydney. The Binary Stud Stakes. Rainman, take us through the markets for this one.
Market suggests this is a race in two, Rog. The Kiwi Prowess is the clear favourite. 280 into 230 early. Provitra, $3 out to $3.20. Fireburn at $8.50 is the only other horse at single figures here. And I think this is a race the market's got just about right. I do think the New Zealand filly prowess does look extremely tough to beat. We've seen basically throughout recent history and for a long time that New Zealand three-year-old staying types, when they do get to Australia for races like the Binary Stud Stakes, the Australian Oaks, the Australian Derby, they do perform very well. I think Prowess can follow in that mantle. I think she is a deserving favourite, but there's no real edge at her current price of $2.30. If you're looking for one to be a bit of an improver at a bit of a price, maybe one worth including in your exotics, I think Sole Choice for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott can perform well. Has been well backed early, $16 into $12, coming off a win in a Tasmanian Oaks, which isn't the traditional lead up for the Binary Stud Stakes, but will roll forward with Tim Clark in the saddle, has got plenty of runs in her legs this preparation, and so the 2,000 metres won't be an issue. So she's the one that can add a bit of value to your exotics, but I think the favourite Prowess will be tough to beat.
Yeah, no, great spoil on the price, but I'm with you, Rainman. I think Prowess looks really, really good. Last start Group 1 winner, 2,000, beat La Creek, who, of course, came out here to much fanfare in the spring. Many of these horses haven't even been to 2,000 metres, you know, let alone won a Group 1 weight for age against, you know, the boys as well as the girls. And and is what Prowess did that last start. So I think Prowess here looks as near on good thing.
Yeah, I it's hard to argue against the favourite, but if you're just looking for a bit of value, I've settled on Rain Man's Choice as well at the value, Sole Choice. You know, Gabe Woodhouse and Adrian Bott are flying at the moment. They seem to be able to keep their horses going in deep into the prep and running well, and that's what they're trying to do here with Sole Choice. Been down to Tassie, came back to Sydney and won a stakes race. $12 looks the overs to me. Maybe the wide draw just a bit tricky over the 2,000 metres. So gets a bit of cover, gets up there on speed. Sole Choice to be in it for a long way.
Yeah, I can't go past the favourite. I'm sorry, Prowess. Roger James, he doesn't waste time bringing them to Australia without getting a result. And listen, with all respect to the others, like Sole Choice won a Terang maiden four runs back, and then has worked through the grades, winning those stakes races in Tassie. Byron Bell from the John Sargent stable. Now, I'm looking at Byron Bell because it's trained by John Sargent, and he usually pulls a rabbit out of the hat in these three-year-old fillies grades, but he got beaten restricted company at 1,500 metres last start. I just think if Prowess half turns up, she just wins. It's plain and simple. Fireburn's been off the burn for a long time. Prowess, and by a significant margin, I think.
You're not worried about the trip, Pete?
Sorry, Anthony?
Well, I'd just be slightly worried about a Poissier over the trip, but I suppose, you know, it has run to that level over in New Zealand, but you know, carried only 2 kilos, I see, last start to win that race. What would the weight scale been for that Group One race over there?
It's weight for age, so she gets in.
Listen, she was
very well. The start before that, over 2,000 metres against the filly, she's won by 5 lengths. So she's got no issue with the trip in New Zealand. This is a step up in quality, you'd think, but she looks pretty good.
If it was a handicap, she'd be giving all these except Fireburn probably 5 or 6 kilos, and she'd be giving Fireburn a couple of kilos, and she's meeting them at set weights. Like on form, they could leave the hobbles on her, and she'd still be favourite.
Yeah, you convinced me.
Yeah. It's a reasonable push there for the Kiwi from Peter Moody. Let's move on to the Tancred. Rayman, take us through the market for the next Group 1 on the program at Rosehill.
A few betting moves early here, Rog. Montefiore opened favourites, now out to $5.50 after opening at $3.80. Gold Trip, the new favourite, at $4.60. Knight's Orders there at $8. Cleveland for Joseph O'Brien is $9. The market mover, Arapahoe, is $26 into $10, and a bit of money for Val and Declare as well. So punters are getting involved very early in this contest. And I think this is a great race for a two-bet play here. I think the two horses at the top of the market are going to be very tough to beat. That's Gold Trip and Montefiore. Gold Trip, now third up, I think is ready to win over 2,400 metres of the Tancred Stakes. Was excellent first up in the Peter Young Stakes. Got too far back, and the race is over when he ran on last start in the Randwick Stakes, but I think it was the perfect little lead-up on the quick backup here in the Tancred Stakes. We've seen this horse. He does seem to thrive on racing. Every time he ran last preparation in the spring, he just improved. We saw him run in the Caulfield Cup. He ran in the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, then won a Melbourne Cup. So he likes racing. He thrives on racing, and I think this is his race to win. Plenty of respect, though, for Montefiore. I liked her last week. She was no match for the very classy Dubai on her last week, but she still ran really well, and she beat the others quite comfortably in that Randwick Stakes. So she's a Group 1 winner at 2,400 metres. I still don't think it's necessarily her best trip, but I think on class alone, she has to go into this race in good contention. So they're the two clear standouts to me, Gold Trip and Montefiore. I'm happy to back them both, and I think you'll come away with a profit.
Yeah, the points you made for Gold Trip were the points I was going to make, Rayman. I was probably with him a run too early last week, given that he was super in that first up run at 1,800. Just didn't have it last weekend. But, you know, the mile and a half this weekend, he was beating a bee stick at this distance in the Caulfield Cup last year, and he's ready to fire third up in another Group 1 here. Gold Trip for me.
Yeah, I just think you ignore Joseph O'Brien at your peril here, lads. First up, for about 8 or 9 months. Cleveland, number 9, Kieran McAvoy, drawn a bit sticky in 11, but they don't come here to muck around, this mob, and in the Lloyd Williams colours, trained by Joseph O'Brien, safe in the market at $9 is Cleveland. Everyone will ignore this horse because it's hard to have any sort of form reference. First up over the 2400, who would want to back it? I will.
Yeah, listen, I certainly respect that stable. Is the horse here for ownership's sake? Because it looks like he's in the Lloyd Williams colours, although he doesn't have owners mentioned. But if you thought Joseph O'Brien had just plucked him here like William Haggis had done with Dubai Honor and the likes the last couple of weeks, well, you'd just sell the farm and back Cleveland, undoubtedly so. But just not knowing that fact of whether he's been brought to Australia to stay here like a lot of these internationals, and this is a run for Joseph before he wanders off to someone else, that was my only slight concern there. But, you know, his form is no better than the likes of Gold Trip and those types of horses that when they've come over here. So, you know, great respect for the stable, but just not sure there. I'm going to go with one a little bit. Well, it's not left field. I think he's in good form, Sir Lucan. He was brilliant first up, 2,000 metres. I just reckon he might have just needed the outing the other day in the Menyon Cup at 2,400. I reckon that'll just bring him right on. Waterhouse body's going to be rock hard third up. He's not backing up like some of the main opposition in Gold Trip and the filly Montefilia off the firm deck last week. And I reckon this has probably been a bit of a target race for Gay and Adrian here, and I just thought he'd be very strong to run down on pace, Sir Luke in the eight. And he's got the class of a Gold Trip or of a Cleveland, and his form suggests he's on an upward spiral. So I'm with the eight, Sir Lucan.
Here we have a mate dedication from Scott to Johnny. Over to you, Scott.
Jono, you've got some questionable banter at times. Oh man, did you butcher the speech at both of Tim's weddings. And you barrack for the worst footy team. But mate, you nailed last weekend's multi. Love you, big fella.
Good on you, Scott. Try Ladbrokes Mates Mo to chat, share and bet together. T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Let's go to best bets now. Rayman, as per usual, you can take the Kookaburra from the Paddington end.
We've talked about the New Zealand form in the Vinery Stud Stakes, Rog, and we've got another Kiwi here for the Tullock Stakes. Rosehill Race 3, number 1, Full of Sincerity, goes into the Tullock Stakes as the $3.40 favourite. I think it's going to be very, very tough to beat. His form in New Zealand is very good, without necessarily winning, but has been racing well in races. Got form around Sharp and Smart. Got a former in the Avondale Guineas as well. So I think here in a Tullock Stakes, which isn't full of quality, like race 3, number 1, Full of Sincerity, is going to be very tough to beat.
I genuinely think Prowess is the best bet of the day in the Vinery. But aside from that, I'm going to Flemington, race 6, number 8, What You Need from the Price Kent Yard. Looks super with two dominant wins from its two starts, including that last start down the Flemington Straight. Drawn 17, but obviously no worries in a straight race. I think he'll be far too good for them.
Looking forward to the weekend's racing in the red colours. We've got a few to skip around and follow. I'll tell you what, the Alexandra Stakes, the last at Moonee Valley, if everyone's still awake, just have a shekel or two each way on Kill Drummy. I don't reckon that race has come up too strong. And she's a Tarzino filly that we bred that we've got a bit of an opinion of, and she absolutely bolted in her maiden a couple of starts ago and then went up against the older horses and acquitted herself quite well last start running a place. And, gee, there's some just mediocre form in that race. So she's at 40 to 1, I reckon, in that race. So you can...
$61 the win, $8.50 the place.
Yeah, no, she's not without a fluke of hope. But probably, you know, I'll be barracking for Pounding, but I can't understand the odds of Treasureway in race 2 at Flemington in the Thoroughbred Breeders' Stakes. We've geared this filly up for this race, two-year-old filly's event. She's $16 in the Ladbrokes market, and she shouldn't be. She ran third in a stakes race down the straight at Flemington last start behind Princess Dohallow and Butch Cassidy ran second. Now, Butch Cassidy franked that form by coming out and bolting in its maiden yesterday, just at the provincials, but looked very good doing so. And it's given us some confidence that we've headed the right way with this filly. So at $16, you can back her with a bit of confidence, I reckon, in race two at Flemington, the Thoroughbred Breeders' Stakes, Treasure Way.
Pretty quiet weekend for the little boutique stable this weekend. A couple heading to Moonee Valley Friday night. And I think probably our best chance for the weekend. Race 6, horse 8, Foxicon. She's been in dynamic form in these 9.55s the last couple of runs. Drawn to get a great run behind the leader on the fence in, I would presume, unflinching. Gets a 2 kilo claim for Carlene Heffel, who just rode another winner over the shoulder there at Sandown a minute ago. She's riding very well. Comes in 2 under the limit. I think she is our best hope of the weekend. Foxathon, race 6, number 8. Chain of Lightning, we've touched on in the William Reid. Her chances come if we get significant rain tomorrow, but I'm not convinced that's going to happen either, unfortunately. She Dances goes round in what I think is a very, very good race in Melbourne, race 6, the Sunlight Classic. It's sort of a new race on the radar. It was an old listed race. Well, it's still a listed race, but had a significant prize money bump to $500,000 to join this Australia Cup card. And I think it's a bloody good race. Horses like Recommendation, last stakes winner, What Do You Need from the Price Kent Stable, look very, very good. I would presume the Boom Filly Bendetta will take her place here. Over the William Reid, but that's probably be to announce in the next 24 hours. And in that race, I've got the little filly She Dances, looking for her to get back to form, but she might struggle to get back to form against these. Pounding, we've touched on in the Australia Cup. You know, he had an unbelievable preparation. You've only got to look at his form card there. And I think at his last 10 runs on the card there, there's once outside the top 6. And he's been ultra consistent. And I'm hoping he can run extremely well again. So good luck, good punting. We haven't got a fast horses race team this weekend, but I hope someone finds one and they let the bastard run fast. Good luck, stay healthy, and may all jockeys go home to their wives, partners and families on Saturday night after a terrible trot here in Melbourne the last 3 weeks through no one's fault, but just looking forward to seeing those little fellas. I'm as hard on any of them as any bastard out there, but I want to see them all go home and get tucked into their own beds on Saturday night. Have a great weekend. Ladbrokes.
Best bet time on Moody on the mic. Rainman, take the new ball.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting day for a best bet here, Rog. Sorry, I've lost what race number it is. I'll start again.
I'm not editing that. I'm leaving it in. Do you want me to go again or are you just going to pick it up?
You start it again, it'll be a cleaner edit.
Oh, I forgot to turn it up, you silk.